Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
On the hotline right now, Waldo Stakes is going to stop by the show. First time he's been on, general contractor and designer of high-speed vehicles. He builds ridiculous high-speed, like these rocket cars, anything to get a land speed record. And he worked with our buddy, Mad Mike Hughes, on the rocket that eventually... I mean, you'll see everything play out on Homemade Astronauts.
Well, you remember Mike Hughes, and Mike was a good friend of the show. I mean, we really enjoyed having him. He was, a provocateur. He knew to play the flat earther deal, and I never thought he bought it. I think he knew it would get him attention, and then he had other things he wanted to talk about.
Exactly.
And he was definitely, he was pretty goddamn insane. But smart and fearless, and it did cost him his life eventually. We were with him through the first launch, all the way to the second, and Waldo was the guy who was kind of...
Second launch, they got up to almost 2,000 feet.
Our next guest is a California-based contractor and designer of high-speed vehicles who was a friend and collaborator with the late, great Mad Mike Hughes, and both of them are featured in the four-part Discovery Plus docu-series, Homemade Astronauts. Please welcome Waldo Stakes.
Hey, Waldo. Appreciate you hanging with us this morning. You got a show coming up, and I'm glad that people are going to get to hear some of Mike's story.
Well, yeah, it's nice to be on Johnny Dare's show. Are you guys, you're in the movie Rocket Man.
Yeah, no, I'm aware. I'm watching it at home, and all of a sudden I'm like, what? Hold on, that's my voice. And
they use you. I remember that meeting mogul, that sound. It's just pretty cool. Yeah.
And
anyway, he really liked you guys, so you guys were really entertaining.
You know what? That means a lot because I really enjoyed him as well. Like, I think he understood that we understood. Like, he had some things he wanted to do and some things he wanted to say, and he used, you know, like the flat earth thing. I don't buy that he believed that. But he definitely, it made people crazy to talk to him.
He did. It did. That's exactly what it did. It made people. But I have to tell you, man, the guy was a flat earther. I sat him down with him for hours, arguing back and forth. I was explaining orbital mechanics and stuff, and he's not having it. You know, he was one of these guys, okay, that just said, "Waldo, question everything because everything is BS." Okay, everything is BS. He goes, "You gotta. You know, you're in a world where people want to control you, so they're always going to lay BS on you." You know,
and that's true.
Like, you know, well, if we're going to go to space. We got to do it ourselves. NASA's not going to put you in space. It's like, you know, NASA's been around 80 years. How many people you know have been in space? You know, like, that's a good point, you know. And NASA's not behind, you know, space stations for everybody, you know. And anybody flying that shuttle is a colonel or a commander or a captain. You know, he's like, it's a military thing, man. It's not for us. He says, we're going to go to space. We got to do it ourselves.
So tell me this, because if you just joined the show, Waldo's with us. We're just meeting for the first time. Stakes, he's part of this docuseries, Homemade Astronauts. Now, you get involved with Mad Mike Hughes, who was known for jumping limousine the longest distance, building what they were basic. What was he using for propellant? It wasn't steam. Was it peroxide? What was he using?
No. He was, Mike was using water.
Water is just water.
The most amazing substance in the world. Yeah, if you heat it up, okay, like, imagine, it's like a thermos bottle. The rocket engine is like a thermos bottle. It has some electrical heaters inside. He used to use propane, but it was too difficult. So he ended up using immersion electrical heaters like you would use in an industrial application. And what happens is you heat the water up and it becomes superheated, super saturated water, okay? It's like super energy water. It just sits in there. And then when you open a valve up, the water escapes to the atmosphere and turns into steam and increases 400 times its size. and that's where you get the thrust from.
And that was originally the Evel Knievel model.
That, in fact, it all came from Robert Truex, and I know they're in I got to get out to Kansas City. I know you guys got that Evel Knievel machine.
It's incredible. It is incredible.
Oh, yeah, sure. No, Kansas has got some great, great museums. You ever been to the Cosmosphere in Hutchinson?
Sure, of course. Some of the most space-flown objects in a museum in America. There's more space-flown items in that museum than any other museum in America.
It makes the Smithsonian look lame.
It's
I've been doing both. Okay, so anyway, I'm going to get out there, and I'm really into Daredevils. I have my own museum here called Daredevils and Speed. I'm going to open it up to the public in the fall. I want everybody to get a chance to watch Homemade Astronauts on Discovery Plus, and to watch the Rocket Man movie that Toby produced. There you go.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so how do you get involved, Mike? When you get with Mike, my question is. Look, you've done real stuff. You have SonicWind.com. You've speed vehicles you've worked with, X-15 rocket engines, land speed records, all these things you've done. I mean, real records, real things, real danger. And Mike was a loose cannon. So how do you get involved with Mike? And then you're like, I think I can keep him on the straight and narrow.
Well, I tell you, you don't run into guys like Mike that often, okay? I get calls from people all the time, maybe once every couple months. I want to build this, I want to build that, I want to do that. And I'm like, oh, it's cool, good luck with that. Anything I can do help you, I'll let me know. But they don't build anything. Well, when Mike called me, and he's like, I'm working on this rocket, I'm going to jump to Snake River Canyon, and blah, blah, blah. I jumped in most. I'm like, okay, cool. He goes, do you want to see it? And I said, you got it built? He goes, yeah, sure, I want to see it. So I drive down to where it is. It's in the back of some beat-up old transmission shop. Mike's living out of his car. I see this thing. He goes, what do you think? I said, it sucks. It's going to kill you. He's like, well, can you help me make it not kill me? And I said, yeah, I'll help you. So what happened was, and the reason was because he actually built stuff. Mike had a work ethic unlike anybody you've ever seen. Up 5:30 in the morning. He wouldn't eat anything till the evening. He would work until the sun went down out here in California, 9 o'clock at night, day after day after day after day. Now, let me just tell you what he did. Okay, he jumped 7 limos. He set the world record twice, once officially for Guinness Book of World Records at 103 feet. Okay,
right.
He won so many dirt bike races, he couldn't even count them. He would just throw the trophies away. The guy didn't give a crap about anything. He was a man's man is what he was. He was an Oklahoma boy, Oklahoma City, okay? So then he did that. He jumped limo 7 times, set 2 records. He ran a NASCAR team. He ran a NASCAR truck team. He was the guy who came up with the wraps for NASCARs. Like, he argued with everybody. They were like, oh, I didn't have a stick on the car at 200 miles an hour. They were all wrong. They all do it. Nobody gives him credit for it. Okay.
Isn't that great?
He was fearless. These guys like Evel Knievel and Mike, they got this mindset that fame is everything, man. It's their girlfriend, and whatever it takes to get there. So when I met Mike, he didn't have a propulsion system. He didn't know that much about rockets. I taught him because I knew Robert Truax, who built the Sky Cycle for Evel Knievel. Okay. And I taught him about steam rockets, and then over a period of about 2 years, he developed enough power to actually do it. And so then I got really involved with him. I was with Mike for 8 years.
So,
and he was more like a little brother to me.
When I saw the news that he had crashed and it was fatal, I thought he, because the first two were pretty amazing, and it seemed pretty together. The plan was pretty together. Of course, anything can happen. We've seen it in the most regulated space programs with NASA. It happens. And, I mean, everything from the Challenger to, Apollo. And
yeah, but with NASA and stuff like that, they got 10,000 engineers, okay, doing stuff. And everything is regulated and dictated and all this stuff. With Mike, man, that guy's a daredevil, okay? Fact, okay? I don't know if you know this, but I had a buddy named Bill Inman, and he built me automatic chute deployment devices. He put one on the Green Rocket, and it did work. Mike said, nah, man, I want that junker. His attitude is, Waldo, I'm a goddamn daredevil. If I can't throw those chutes, I deserve what I get. That's what he said. And so I didn't put automatic chute deployment devices on that thing. He would fight me on it. And he just had this idea of what he was and what he had to do. Okay, now, Mike made 12 launch attempts. There was always a problem.
Okay? Yeah.
And he made them from California to Texas, in Arizona, all over the southern parts. He did these launch attempts. Okay, he launched four times. Three times he rode it. Of course, the last time was fatal. But we think what happened was we had changed the launch system, and it created a disturbance and tore the rear nozzle to one side. Now, I developed a device. It's a circular. It looks like a coffee can that's attached to the back of the rocket. That's so that when the thrust comes out of the rocket, when the water comes out of the rocket, it's like a solid rod, if you could imagine a solid bar of steel.
Right.
And that solid, because it's exiting so fast, okay, when that solid bar comes through there, it won't cross through that circle. And so the rocket had to climb. No matter what happens, it had to climb, okay? Now, he went from zero to almost 5,000 feet in like 3 to 4 seconds. So the guy was pushing the sound barrier. Okay.
So you think he just passed out? You think he just it just?
Yeah. Oh, dude. The rocket jinked to the right, and when it jinked, you know, it doesn't look like much when you see it in your eye. And the reason why it jinked is because the nozzle was offset, but that thrust entrainment device is going to make it go straight no matter what. Okay. So it climbed straight up, and he boogies up and he came right out of sight. You know, in fact, they had a couple drones that just blast past the drone. They had the drones at 4,000 feet just blasted right past it. And then I think what happened is in that jink, it doesn't look like much to your eye, but it would have been like you getting hitting the head with a sledgehammer. And that might have knocked him out because, you know, he could handle high Gs. We would tourniquet his knees to keep the blood flow from coming down to his head and redden him out. And he would. Now, here's imagine this, okay? You're in the cockpit, okay? Let's say you're him, okay? You got I armed the thing from a distance, and that allows everybody to be clear. Okay, once he knows he's armed, he gets a signal inside the cockpit, and he'll ask, am I armed? You're armed, okay. And then he flicks a switch, and he double arms it. So now he's got one more valve to pull. When you pull that valve, okay, the first thing that happens is you're startled from the impact, because the rockets don't come on like a car engine does. Even a dragster, when a dragster right. leaves the line, you know, you got a couple of thousand RPM you're coming up on, you know what I mean, as you're spinning the wheels and stuff. So it accelerates, it hits you hard, but not like a rocket. Rocket's like just somebody took a big sledgehammer, hit your whole back of your body, boom. Okay, so you're kind of stunned, okay, and when you shake yourself off a second or two, you're, you know, maybe 1,800, 1,500 feet in the air doing 400 miles an hour.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You cannot compare that stuff to motorcycle jumping or anything.
No, well, I'm just still back on listening to you talk about tourniquet and on his knees, which I understand what he was doing. He's trying to keep the blood in his chest cavity and into his brain. A lot of guys fly right. planes do what they call the hook maneuver, and you can do it. You make the hooks and you go hook, and you're clenching. You're trying to push the blood back into your brain. They know the astronauts deal with it, fighter pilots deal with it, anybody who pulls hard Gs, because you just simply pass out.
Right, right.
But he tourniqueted his own legs.
The combination of the jink and stuff, knocked him out, because he would slightly red out on all the jumps, and he would come back. Remember, he did this three times, okay? And he would come back pretty healthily, you know, and throw the chutes and stuff. On the one at 1,800 feet that we did in Amboy, I put a chute deployment device there. If you watch that movie, that the Rocket Man movie,
yep.
I'll promote that a little bit.
Yep.
If you get a chance, watch the Rocket Man movie on Amazon Prime, okay? And you'll see that there's two shots of him. One, he's accelerating really hard, and I think he's a little startled. And remember, these things are always ahead of you. You know,
right.
you
drove
dragsters, right? Then you
right. Yes,
you
sure did. Today. Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yep.
Then you know what it's like to have the thing in front of you.
Sure.
You know, it's ahead of you, and you're chasing it in your
yeah.
actions, and that's not it. You want to be right on that, right on that edge, right? Okay.
Right.
Okay. So it's ahead of him, and he's panicked, and so he reaches and he throws the chute. Okay. Well, the chute deployment devices have a hot match that releases this pneumatic ram, which opens the. I don't want to get too complex, but opens the parachute. Okay.
Right.
And these are rocket chutes that take 1 second to come out. Okay. And if you saw Eddie Braun's jump across the Snake River Canyon, they used the same chutes. They weren't going to do that originally. They were going to copy the chutes that Knievel had on that X2 SkyCycle, which wouldn't stay in the thing. There was too much mass pushing on the thing. It just weren't going to work. These rocket chutes are where it's at. People use them on ultralights. You're an ultralight guy, right?
Yeah. Good homework. Yeah. No, I built one, yeah.
Okay, so the idea is, you know, these things come right out, and 1 second they come out, and they're starting to open. So you got 1 second before the chute comes out, okay, that's it. So what happens is he throws the chute comes out and flops the rocket over. Well, when they show him again, you'll see a puff of smoke rising from his right shoulder, and that is the electric match sensing apogee and deploying the chute. So it did work. So I said, Bill, build me two of them. And I didn't have money to pay Bill. I'm broke. I'm just a work guy. And so he said, well, Walt, I want some of that margin steel you got. See, now people don't know this. I'll tell you a little bit more about your buddy Evel Knievel there, okay? Robert Truax was going to put Evel Knievel in space, and he was going to do a ground launch, and that's hard because you need a lot of power and you need guidance, okay? And they were using a LOX kerosene, 4 1,000-pound thrust rocket motors and stuff. In the end, you know, Evel Knievel had that tryst with the law, and everything went south. But the rocket still existed. And then they tore it apart. They used it for a Navy program. And I have some of the margin steel that was used to make this rocket.
What is margin steel? What is margin steel?
Margin steel is standard steel. It's stretched and heated and stretched and heated and stretched and heated until it's three times the strength of margin.
Okay. That's very expensive.
It's like, you know, it's like the cost of silver, probably. Okay. And so I paid Bill Inman with margin steel because Bill Inman was a steam rocket guy, and he built me two of those things. And I showed him, Mike, go, hey, man, we're going to install these. He's like, you're not putting those in my rocket. He goes, I will throw those chutes. I go, dude, you're going to climb for a mile this time under power. This is going to be a hard climb, and this is the last one. I don't want to even do this one. I tried to talk him out of it the night before, but there was, he didn't tell Mike anything. He just didn't. And so, you know, we didn't put him in, and we went ahead with the launch, and what happened is what happened.
It's funny you talk about, you know, was he conscious? What happened? I was watching the Felix Baumgartner, the Red Bull from 127,000 feet when he was free falling, and there's no, you know, there's no atmosphere, so he climbs up to about 800 miles an hour, and it won't even ripple the fabric on his suit,
right?
And he goes into that tumble, and you can hear him. And they don't put it in very few of the Red Bull promos. Most of the happy, like, it was such a great experience, but you can hear him start to mumble and go, I feel like I have to pass out. And about that time, he managed to get the big X out and stabilize himself as he got into the atmosphere. But a couple more seconds, and he'd have been absolutely high-speed tumbling, unconscious, and that would have killed him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know who Dr. Alan Eustace is, don't you?
I've heard the name.
Okay. All right. Dr. Alan Eustace beat his fall record.
That's right.
A few years back, I want to say about 7 or 8 years ago, they dropped him from 135,000 feet. But he didn't come out of a gondola or anything. And he had a big, like a shaft that protruded out from his back, you know, like a toy, a whip toy that you snap it out and it extends out and comes back, you know, like that. Had something like that on his back to stabilize him so he wouldn't spin. But basically, he just was strapped to a balloon, hanging on it, laying down. And then it got to altitude, and then just the disconnect thing just dropped him, okay? Well, we were going to do kind of the same thing to get Mike in space, to actually get him in space. The plan was the homemade astronauts is real as far as we're concerned because we were really going to try to get him in space. I'm about halfway done with the spaceship. In fact, I'm looking for a new astronaut. So anybody out there in the Kansas area, yep, you got the guts, you got the money, $2.6 million, you'll be the world's first private astronaut.
Well, go get Eustace, man. He's got the money. Eustace has got it. He's a Google executive. Eustace, that guy from, he did a, you know, we just spoke about him.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, guys don't have that Mad Mike Hughes mindset, okay? You got to, I don't know, man. They're different people. Daredevils are different people. They should be heralded all the time.
And no doubt.
The reason is because they are the gladiators of the olden days. You know, they are guys who show us how we should be. You know, that,
no, you're right.
And that was what Mike's whole trip was, you know, and the whole trip was, man, Waldo, everybody should question everything. Everybody should be a rebel. Everybody should be a man. You know what I mean? That was Mike. That's,
you know what?
What it was about.
I couldn't agree more. I think I wish he'd have lived another 50 years, but a life well lived, and he wears his legend well.
He was too much for this world, man. He was going to die young. He was too much.
Well, man, let's stay in touch. Because I think there's going to be more interesting stuff with you. Everybody, don't forget to watch the show, by the way. It's on Discovery Plus called Homemade Astronauts. Waldo Stakes is who we're talking to. And let's stay in touch, man, because there's just so much interesting things that are happening, man. So many interesting things. We'll stay in touch and make sure we get to Kansas City.
Call me anytime, John. Take care of yourself.
All right, Waldo. Take care. Bye. I had to think about it. Eustace was the Google executive who beat Felix Baumgartner's drop, but it didn't get as much attention because he triggered the memory. He had a big, like a stabilizing, I don't want to call it a spike, but he had it off his back, but it kept him from spinning. It kept him like a lawn dart going straight down. okay. as opposed to going into a tumble, which is what almost killed Felix. Like, that almost went super bad. And he may have survived because they could have had an actuator that if you hit, like, they jump with them now. They skydive with them now. That if your altimeter hits a certain level, it'll automatically throw a chute. But
good to know.
Yeah. No, they have those. They're real.
I'll never find out. But it is good to know.
Yeah, there you go. Hold on, I think there's a picture. Yeah, see this? This crazy bastard with this thing on his back.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he beat the the world's highest jump, man. He went a mile and a half higher than Baumgartner's 12 record. Golly. Well, by the way, Waldo scares me. Because he's the kind of guy that would throw me in a rocket if I was willing to go. You know what I mean? Like,
we talked about this, John. What's the problem?
Yeah. No, he's for real. And now we do kind of know what killed Mad Mike Hughes. I didn't realize he was over. He was at 5,000 feet when he hit his apex.
Well, when you watch the video, too, like, I've always noticed that it dips real quick and whatever. And I never thought anything about that. And he's like, yeah, but at those speeds, if that dips at all, like, it probably clanked his head so hard that he didn't know where he was.
Yeah, no, there's a, let me see this footage here. I mean, this is out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, but that first chute is gone.
Yeah, the first chute comes out almost immediately and then drags the rocket.
Yeah, and that's what janked him.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to see him land. Yeah, enough of that.
But that dude, not only can you tell he loved Mike and whatever, but that is a guy who, and he said, you know, I tried to talk him out of it, and he tried to push him in the right direction, because Mike was the daredevil who was like, whatever, we'll do whatever. But that's the kind of, Waldo's the kind of guy that scares me, because if you have any stupid idea, like we have all the time, he's like, you know, that could be done. Like, let's figure that out. Like, I've got the stuff.
And, I mean, look, he's got a company called Sonic Wind, so you can Google that. And then he's got ideas for these land speed records. And
he takes secondhand, like, X-15, like, literally, like, jet fuel, like, rocket.
Which you can get
all of them. And making cars out of it. Because they're trying to get to, I think the world land speed record right now is just over 763 or something like that.
763, I believe, is it.
So they're trying to get over that. That is moving ass.
I mean,
even if you're on salt flats and whatever.
Look at these cars right here. This is what he does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. They're just rockets laid on their side.
Just tubes.
With some wheels.
And then on salt flats and just.
And then they light the rocket engine. Instead of going in the air, he goes towards the mountain.
with hopefully enough room to,
and that's really coast it in. When I tell you that, that's really for real. What that is? That's a rocket basically laid down on its side, and you watch, he'll get it. I mean, there's going to be more deaths, but it'll be amazing, man. Yeah. Check it out for yourself, SonicWind.com. Don't forget to watch the show, man. It's called Homemade Astronauts on Discovery, and find the Rocket Man documentary on Amazon Prime. It tells the story of Mike before this last one, but it's really interesting, and he was one crazy son of a bitch, man. He really was, and super interesting.
This is the Johnny Dare Morning Show.
The Johnny Dare Morning Show
on 98.9 The Rock.